just wanted to give a little bit of context for today. For those of you who have been at Parramatta Baptist Church for quite a while, some years ago Parramatta had a connection with a place called Bimbadeen. It was a theological and ministry training college down in Cootamundra. I think we have some photos up the back and they may or may not appear behind me. Our connection, that's a long time ago. We all look a little bit younger. The connection at that time was through Michael Marr. And a number of us knew him, were good friends with Michael, and Brooke also knew and was friends with Michael as well. Over a number of years, a number of us went down to work on the property, and not only just to work on the property, but we also connected with the people who were there. Some of us did some training of the students who were down there as well. And it really was a wonderful connection that we had for many years. I remember particularly the 2008 team, I think, was the largest, and these are the photos from 2008. And we spent five days down there, not only working on the property, but engaging with those who were serving there. There were so many highlights. I think the sense of connection and community with all of us who were there. We had a meal with members of the Aboriginal Evangelical Fellowship Board who travelled from Newcastle and various places to actually come on the Saturday night and have a meal with us. And that was just a wonderful experience of hearing the stories around Bimbadeen and how it once was the Cootamundra domestic training college for girls who'd been removed from their families. And there were stories, there was worship, there was eating together. It was just lovely. So when I spoke to Brooke and she talked about the title of this morning as Reconciliation as Friendship, that just makes perfect sense to me. And I think for all of us who were part of Bimbadeen and established those friendships, that makes perfect sense. That as we come together, as we share a meal, as we share life together, reconciliation is a friendship. So Brooke, I'd love to invite you up and we're going to do a little bit of interview, find out who you are. And I have given her these questions before. But firstly, welcome. It really
Thank
is lovely
you.
To have you here.
Yeah, it's really great to be here.
Where is home for you?
That's always a complicated question for an Aboriginal person. So if you ever ask an Aboriginal person and they're silent, just sit in the silence. I was at a conference last year where the actual question was, where are you from? And I was like, do you want the Aboriginal answer or do you want the non-Indigenous answer? And if you want the Aboriginal, are you willing to wait for the answer? To which a couple of people said, it's not a hard question. And so it was a learning experience for all of us. But home for me, so my country is Wagga Wagga country, not the place Wagga Wagga, but Wagga Wagga. So that's a sense of home for me. That's my grandmother's country, my nan's country, one of the over 300 nations of Aboriginal peoples, and specifically in the lands now called Queensland, so about 3 hours drive northwest of Brisbane, of Meanjin. But I was born up in Cairns on Yindinji country, so there's a sense of home there. Grew up and lived most of my life on southern Gubbi Gubbi country. Gubbi Gubbi is neighbouring to Wagga Wagga, and Gubbi Gubbi is like the Sunshine Coast area of Queensland, and specifically a little city called Redcliffe, just north of Brisbane, and that's where my mum and sister and nephew and nieces all are, so that's a sense of home. And Sydney as well has become my home. And so I have lived in Sydney for 3 years, have gone up to Queensland now, but I'm in Sydney about, every month, basically. So, and lots of friends I stay with in Sydney, and so that's home for me.
Thank you.
And that's probably all we have time for.
I'd love to hear, who are the people who shaped your Christian faith and your identity?
Yeah, so I came to faith at the age of 21, and that was in the Salvation Army. And so I really acknowledge, she's still one of my best friends today, Natalie, who just invited me to church when we were at university together. And I encourage young people, they're not in the room today, but always just invite your friends, do life together. And that's what we did. And but in the Salvation Army, the founders of the Salvation Army, William and Catherine Booth, I didn't think Christians were involved in justice, and then I heard their stories, and then I heard the story of Jesus. And then the incredible Aboriginal Christian leaders I've got to meet, and really through the 2012 Grass Tree Gathering, the first time to to bring us all together in a number of decades. And so the senior Aboriginal Christian leaders like Auntie Jean Phillips, who's now in her late 80s, over 65 years of ministry and still doing full-time ministry today, an incredible inspiration. Uncle Reverend Graham Paulson, who encouraged me on my theological journey, the very first Aboriginal person to be a Baptist minister in this country. Uncle Pastor Ray Minicon in ministry and theology. Auntie Dr. Ann Patel Gray, Auntie Reverend Denise Champion, so many others. And then all of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders today and many non-Indigenous ministers across all denominations who are my dear friends and encourage me on my journey.
It's a personal question for me because I had a similar journey. You trained as a chartered accountant and worked as a chartered accountant. But somewhere along the line, you've ended up in organisations, Christian organisations as a whole, who are seeking justice and reaching out, building friendships and connection. Was there a sense, or was there a time, a place where you actually just sensed that was the call upon your life?
Yes, so had a very successful career as a chartered accountant, 7 years with one of the big accounting firms, looking towards being a partner in one of those accounting firms. But I'm actually one of only 30 Indigenous chartered accountants in all of Australia. So, went into chartered accounting in 2002, so quite a long finance career, and then post Big Four accounting firms as well, but didn't get to really mix with Aboriginal people and remembering how few of us are actually chartered accountants. And so I just, it was a very strong call on my life to go, and not that I'd ever left Aboriginal peoples, my peoples, but a strong call from God to go and be with my peoples full time. And so in 2012, went to become an Aboriginal pastor. Sadly, the Aboriginal ministry was closed down after 12 months, and I saw how underfunded and defunded Aboriginal ministry was across all the denominations. And so went back into accounting because that was a way to fund Aboriginal ministry. Into 2020, got to be the very first Aboriginal person to lead a Christian organisation as a CEO in this country. So, yes, amazing times, very strong call. But I guess my call today, and you'll hopefully hear this through the message, is we're a great people to get to know. We're doing incredible things in our ministries, but we need support, encouragement and resources. And so I encourage all of our mob, and we try to come together and do that ministry for healing for all peoples.
Many of you, I first became aware of you through Change the Heart with Auntie Jean Phillips. Tell us a little bit about that relationship there, how that started, and that I guess, again, the heart behind that.
Yeah, so Change the Heart, this was its 11th year of calling people together to pray on the before January 26. And I wasn't there at the very first gathering, I was at the second gathering. But a group of non-Indigenous ministers and pastors and a couple of non-pastors as well came to Auntie Jean and were very moved by her call to pray and for justice and for truth-telling and Aboriginal ministry. And they said, we don't know what to do with January 26. And Auntie Jean said, well, when you don't know what to do, we pray. And so gathered together to pray. That now has become a national broadcast with our dear friends at Good, who were ACC TV. And it's amazing, there's non-Christians coming for the justice and the truth-telling and okay with prayer. And, we do need more prayer. And for our nation, for Aboriginal peoples and non-Indigenous people to all come together, but to be a unique experience to be led by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders.
You mentioned the grass tree gathering, and I know you'll come back to that and we'll see a video around that, but just very quickly, what is that?
Yeah, so I became an Aboriginal pastor in 2012. I didn't really know any other Aboriginal Christian leaders. Then just 2 months into being a pastor, a little ad popped up on the internet and said this grass tree gathering was happening for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders, and had the name Auntie Jean Phillips as the visionary behind it. And so that's really where I first connected with Auntie Jean and saw 50 other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders from all parts of Australia and all different denominations and church backgrounds. And after 10 years of being a Christian, I didn't understand why I'd never met everyone else. The people that had helped Auntie Jean with that first one couldn't keep doing it. And I said, Auntie Jean, this changed my life and you have to keep bringing us together. And I said, I'll do whatever it takes. And so today we're a network of over 200 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders all connected up with each other. Our last gathering was in 2018. We were ready to go in February 2020. And of course we'll all know those dates. But we're really praying into a grass tree gathering the end of this year or early next year, and we'll be held here again in Sydney. And so please keep your eyes, ears, minds and hearts out for the grass tree gathering.
Last question, and it's around the voice. We had this conversation because it's been so much part of our news feed, so much part of our discussions. But I actually just want to ask you to answer this personally in terms of what does the voice, and it's in a broader sense, the Uluru Statement from the Heart, what does that mean to you as an Aboriginal person?
Yeah, so the Statement from the Heart in particular, and it's one of my calls to action today for all of you, to actually just read those words. So yes, there's all this talk about a voice to Parliament and referendum, but people actually haven't read the Statement from the Heart. And to actually see what those words say and the invitation into a movement of the Australian people. And so it's also a culmination, the Statement from the Heart, of all of these years of actually humbly asking as Aboriginal peoples for justice, for reconciliation. And so this is a next step. The Statement from the Heart does have three central calls: voice, treaty, truth. As an Aboriginal Christian leader, I've always known the diversity of our Aboriginal communities. I wish non-Indigenous people did too. And so we try to hold everyone together in love and in unity with diversity. And it is possible. And so I ask you, as you come to those things, to listen as Christians with a Christian response. Not necessarily what the media says, but what does Jesus say about you and your walk and how you participate in these lands now called Australia?
Sort of pray for you. And Father, we do want to thank you this morning as we gather. And I just want to pray for Brooke. Firstly, to thank you for the way in which she has come to know you, but also come to know that call and that identity that is so much part of her. We thank you for her leadership among Aboriginal people, but broader than that, the way in which she has spoken into the lives of many, many people and called them to prayer. Father, we do ask this morning that as we listen to her words, as we listen to your words spoken into us, Lord, that your spirit would really resonate, highlight the things that you wish to speak to us personally. Father, for this opportunity, we thank you. We ask your blessing upon Brooke and upon each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Ben.
Good morning. The reading for today is from Mark 5:21. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see, the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha koum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and at this, they were completely astonished.
Well, it is an absolute pleasure to be with you all today and to receive this invitation to be with you all. Here at Parramatta Baptist, here on Darug country, as a Waka Waka woman, and here to share with you about my dream, my prayer and my action, and hopefully to invite you into a journey. And whilst the media and politicians are talking about a voice to Parliament, today I want to bring us back to reconciliation, but actually to relationship. And firstly, that is our relationship with Jesus. And we'll be diving into Mark 5 a bit later, but at the forefront of every interaction I have as a Christian and as an Aboriginal Christian leader is the passage in Mark 10, verses 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so it is with these commandments, and Jesus is my best friend, that I share with you all today at the invitation of Pastor Steve and Pastor Kathy. Secondly, it is the relationship of this word we use in these lands now called Australia, reconciliation. Reconciliation, capital R, reconciliation, being the relationship between Aboriginal peoples of over 300 nations, Torres Strait Islander peoples from over 100 islands in the Torres Strait, of about which 20 islands are lived upon, and non-Indigenous peoples of all cultures and all generations in these lands now called Australia. And I wonder, as we think about this relationship, are you able to name at least three Aboriginal nations from the over 300 nations that have existed for thousands of years and which establish us as Aboriginal peoples as the world's oldest living continuing cultures? I have lived reconciliation my whole life. And our nation has a call to reconciliation every year for National Reconciliation Week, the 27th of May to the 3rd of June, every year. And I emphasise the national of National Reconciliation Week because I reflect on how many churches, how many Christians will actively participate in National Reconciliation Week? Or maybe the question is, how many actually aren't participating in National Reconciliation Week? We also have National NAIDOC Week, and again national, and that's the first Sunday to the second Sunday in July every year, and it's Sunday to Sunday because it actually has a Christian foundation in NAIDOC Week, as I acknowledge William Cooper, Aboriginal Christian leader. And National NAIDOC Week is an opportunity for all peoples of all cultures in these lands now called Australia to celebrate with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples for our peoples, our cultures, our stories and our histories as the world's oldest living continuing cultures. And I hope when you hear that phrase, the world's oldest living continuing cultures, that is that we are part of God's story. We always have been. And so another NAIDOC Week is another national opportunity for churches and Christians to actively participate in reconciliation. And so a question for us all to see where you might be on the journey with Aboriginal peoples and reconciliation and loving your Aboriginal neighbour in 2023. I wonder if anyone can tell me what the 2023 NAIDOC Week theme is. And so the NAIDOC Week themes are announced in November of the preceding year every year. And as Aboriginal peoples, we wait eagerly and expectantly for the announcement of the NAIDOC Week theme. And so this year's NAIDOC Week theme is For Our Elders. And the NAIDOC Week theme is an important way we get to share with all of Australia the important message that we have to share. And those NAIDOC Week themes go right back until the 1970s. And For Our Elders is such an important and timely theme. Even as we looked at those images from Bimbadeen and your relationship with Bimbadeen, some of you, there are incredible Aboriginal Christian leaders, elders in those pictures as well. And especially For Our Elders is an important theme when I reflect on how many elders' funerals that I have been to just in the last 4 weeks. And that's just of my Waka Waka community and the Brisbane Aboriginal community, let alone the incredible leaders that we lost last year, like nationally known leaders like Rosalie Kernoth Monks, Uncle Archie Roach, Uncle Jack Charles, For Our Elders. And I reflect every year as I see many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples exhausting ourselves in actively participating in and in pursuing reconciliation. And being involved with Aboriginal justice, it's impossible to ignore reflecting on situations, reflecting on how our past, Australia's past, still affects our present, and how our present affects our personal lives, those of community, and indeed our nation. And the our there, it's actually a shared one. Our shared history of Aboriginal peoples and non-Indigenous peoples of all cultures of the last 250 years. And so many Australians know so little about the true history of these lands now called Australia. And I'm not just talking about 230 or 250 years ago, but the thousands of years since Creator God placed us here as Aboriginal peoples, here then and until the present day. And so I also reflect on the relationship Aboriginal peoples have had with Creator God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus since time immemorial. Aboriginal peoples were placed here by the Creator. Those boundaries of our nations, the Creator drew those. We didn't determine them. Our law teaches us that the Creator placed them there. They're rivers and mountains and tree lines where the trees change. And Creator gave us the law to know the Creator, to care for creation, and to live in right relationship. This is the basis of our Aboriginal cultures. And for me, and I hope for you, you can hear in there, for me, these are three biblical mandates as well. Aboriginal peoples, as I said before, have always been part of God's story. And we still are today, and we're still here today. So often in Australia, reconciliation has become just a word, but it is so much more than that. Reconciliation is a journey and an action. It affects real people's lives. I would rather call reconciliation friendship. And when I do this with our younger people and students in schools, they immediately all smile and they're often nudging their friend next to them. We understand the framework of friendship. Imagine if we applied that to reconciliation as it's used in this country. And I'd rather call reconciliation friendship, because it's through friendship that we get to know one another, that we desire to learn, share, and grow. And I believe through friendship, we could close the gap a whole lot quicker. As an Aboriginal Christian leader, I have called and led all Christians of all cultures, of all generations, to be led by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders to pursue friendship and reconciliation in our lifetime. But if we are to achieve reconciliation in my lifetime, there is much to learn and much to do. As we've already talked about this morning, change the heart. And now on the 25th of January each year, Auntie Jean Phillips, one of Australia's most senior Aboriginal Christian leaders, calls our nation to prayer. And now supported and have for the last 3 years with the support of Good, who were formerly ACCTV. And this year, the 2023 service was called In Rhythm, and on the screen you have the link. And the good news is, if you missed the 25th of January, you can go and watch Change the Heart at any time and anywhere, if you've got your mobile phone or your smart TV or your computer. And I'm so grateful for Parramatta Baptist and your support for Change the Heart. And it is that unique opportunity to be led by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and to come together in prayer and pray. And I've also, on the next slide, given you the links to the last 2 years. If you never saw Change the Heart 2022 and 2021, you can still also access those. I think 2023 is a really good invitation, if you've got friends who've never heard of Change the Heart, to watch Change the Heart, because it's only a 30-minute program this year. And then the other two take you deeper into the justices and the truth-telling centred around prayer and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leadership. But during the 2021 service, and as part of that program, which you can go and watch, there was a special section that we got to film, and it was a list of injustices. And I originally compiled that list of injustices in 2016, as I was had my first invitation to a theological conference to present, and that was actually the Global Network of Public Theology held in Cape Town, South Africa. And it became the basis of my two co-authored theological papers in the book Enacting a Public Theology, which is edited by Clive Pearson. And you can go and get that book and read those two chapters if you would like. And with this list of injustices, I had a vision of how to bring the injustices to life. And so it was a kind of a dream come true, a vision come to reality, what you see in that 2021 Change the Heart service. And so you've heard me talk about the times of reflection. And in times of reflection are learning and action. And so I wonder if we can take a moment to tune in to the many injustices facing Aboriginal peoples in Australia today. And we should keep in mind these shouldn't be branded Aboriginal issues, Aboriginal problems. It's really sad when I hear Christians use those terms to describe these injustices that are actually facing us as a nation together. And so I'll ask you for this time of reflection as I read some of the injustices that are part of that list. You may wish to close your eyes, center on your relationship with Jesus and as part of this church. Stolen land, stolen generations, stolen wages, massacres and genocide, lack of treaty and treaties, lack of a national truth-telling commission, lack of return of ancestral remains, lack of protection and destruction of sacred sites and the environment, lack of closing the gap, life expectancy gaps, high rates of prison incarceration and juvenile detention, age of criminal responsibility at 10 years of age, our precious 10-year-old children in jails today, Aboriginal deaths in custody, the highest rates of child suicide in the world, the new stolen generation, poverty, racism, discrimination, the breaking of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and the Rights of the Child, and the lack of implementation and support for the Statement from the Heart. Behind these injustices are real people. To me, they are actual people, faces and names. They are my aunties and uncles, brothers, sisters, cousin brothers, cousin sisters, nieces, nephews. Indeed, they are my family. Whenever we use that word community, it means family. Many are Christian. In the 2016 census, it reported that 54% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people identified as Christian. And that list can seem overwhelming, but I can't afford for you to be overwhelmed. Reconciliation can seem overwhelming. Sometimes I call it like an impossible dream. And so I ask you to tackle any potential feelings of being overwhelmed by learning more, by taking action. And don't forget that Jesus is with you. And so I call Jesus the great unsettler. And yes, that is a play on settler, but Jesus unsettles me in heart, mind, and spirit each and every day. Not because I'm Aboriginal, but because I'm a Christian. And when he unsettles me in heart, mind, and spirit, I know I'm actually walking the good path. And two people who didn't let circumstances become overwhelming were Jairus and the bleeding woman. And so I also use the bleeding woman and Jairus from Mark 5 to symbolize what I call impossible dreams. And impossible dreams require a lot of work. As Aboriginal Christians, we are working so hard simply for non-Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal Christians to know us and to love us. To love us first instead of the judgment that so often comes. To love us. And as Aboriginal peoples, we can't do reconciliation on our own. We actually need you. But unfortunately, as Aboriginal peoples, we can often be ignored, or even worse, somehow we become invisible. And just like the bleeding woman, we as Aboriginal peoples can be seen as one of many afflicted people in Australia or the world. And in our passage in Mark 5, in verse 26, it says, "She had endured much under many doctors, had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse." And to me, this reminds us of our struggle as Aboriginal peoples with the government and sometimes even the church structures in our nation. Over 200 years of growing worse. And both the bleeding woman and the father, Jairus, had exhausted all worldly and human possibilities. They had impossible dreams, and so they turned to Jesus. Reverend Joel Edwards, who was the former international director of Micah Challenge and a very dear friend of mine who passed away in recent years, he said this: "This is what Christianity is all about. It's about dreaming impossible dreams and making them come true." You and I believe in a God that can make all things possible. Impossible dreams can be possible. And my prayer is that love and compassion compel us to work towards God's vision of reconciliation here in Australia. God's vision of his kingdom here on earth, here in Australia today. The impossible dream where God provided us, all of us as his children, as the action to make the impossible dreams come true. And that's the key to our impossible dreams. Impossible dreams don't just come about from dreaming. They require action. The bleeding woman took action. She reached out and touched Jesus. The father took action. He took on the crowds and brought Jesus to his daughter. To Jesus, the great healer, the great comforter, the great reconciler. To bring about reconciliation requires action. And you see, the impossible dream of reconciliation can be possible when we work and walk together. On the screen is a great example of this, the painting by Aboriginal Christian artist Cindy Allsop, titled Reconciliation. Hopefully you can see two sets of footprints, a black set of footprints for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, a white set of footprints for our non-Indigenous peoples of all cultures. In those white footprints, I also see a rainbow set of footprints representing all of our different cultures of non-Indigenous peoples in Australia. And we come from two different sides of the painting, two different places. We don't know each other. But when we take the action to actually walk, and we walk towards the foot of the cross, it's there with those U-shapes, and a U-shape is a central desert symbol showing a person. And we don't sit this mob over this side and this mob over this side, but we sit together side by side at the foot of the cross. It is here where we can honour one another, where we can listen with our hearts to each other. And then it is with the blue wavy lines that we can walk away and walk back and walk together. The blue wavy lines together, united in vision and purpose and togetherness. And the hands around the outside also remind us of the action that we need to take. Our hands and our feet with our hearts. A journey of making an impossible dream possible. It's your invitation to join us as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders on that journey. And it's a journey whether you will decide whether you'll take the next step, which is probably to learn more. A journey where you'll actively participate in reconciliation. I hope it's a journey where coming together is actually about fulfilling our role as Christians in these lands now called Australia. And reconciliation is also really practical, and so I always share these three resources, and so I share them with you as actions that you can take in learning more. There's so many resources out there, but for me, these three bring a foundational knowledge, these are the three resources. So Dark Emu, the book or the audio book by Bruce Pascoe, the SBS series, First Australians, which you can watch for free on SBS On Demand, takes you from 1788 and Arthur Phillip and Bennelong through to 1992 and Mabo. And then Arnie Reverend Dr. Denise Champion's book, Arnaditch. Her previous book, Yada Wundata, if you can get your hands on it, but Arnaditch is easily accessible to get these days. And so foundational knowledge, pre-colonisation, 1788 to 1992, and theology, Arnaditch, Auntie Reverend Dr. Denise Champion. And some of you might be aware of the controversy around Bruce Pascoe, and it breaks my heart that there is such controversy. I stand with Bruce Pascoe, amazing Aboriginal leader, academic historian. Marcia Langton has checked every one of his references, and if she stands with Bruce Pascoe, then we all should stand with Bruce Pascoe. And for you, for some action that I invite you into the next slide, three actions that I would love you to do. Watch, read and listen. I wonder if you can do just three actions to watch, read and listen. So that's sign up to changetheheart.com.au if you watch the service but didn't sign up so that we can stay in touch with you. But to watch the 2023 Change the Heart service, or if you watch that, go and watch 2021 or 2022 or invite your friends. So watch Change the Heart. Number two, as I said in the interview, just read the statement from the heart and actually read the words out loud. And maybe do that around your dinner table tonight or your lunch table today, to actually just read those words. Number three, listen to Uncle Archie Roach's song, Took the Children Away. I was shocked last year before Uncle Archie passed away. During National Sorry Day, I wanted some people to play, took the children away. They didn't even know who Archie Roach was. They'd never heard of this song. It's an incredible children's book as well today, but took the children away. Because tomorrow is actually National Apology Day, where we remember the apology from the government led by former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, an apology to the stolen generations. It's actually the 15th anniversary. As an Aboriginal pastor, I had members of significant stolen generations home as part of my congregation. And the stolen generations is pretty much a story that's touched the lives of every Aboriginal person. So National Apology Day tomorrow. Could you just take a moment to listen to Uncle Archie's Roach's song and remember the stolen generations, as well as the 26th of May, National Sorry Day. So together we must break the great Australian silence, we must seek justice and we must love with our Christian values and with those commandments from Jesus. My people's lives depend on it. In the 2021 Change the Heart service, I invited Australia to listen, to learn and to love. I invite you to do the same today, to listen, to learn and to love. And I asked the question back in 2021 and I ask it today in light of the things that I've shared. Do you realise that after 250 years of injustice, Aboriginal peoples are still holding out our hand in friendship and seeking right relationship? This is the basis of our cultures, hospitality and generosity. And it is the Creator who teaches us about that right relationship with all of countries and all peoples. For me, that's that commandment from Jesus. And for me, this shows the incredible example of Aboriginal peoples and particularly Aboriginal Christian leaders of our extraordinary forgiveness, grace, faith. And indeed, some of my dearest non-Indigenous friends have called it a miracle. And it was my Aboriginal mum who first taught me to dream and actively go after my impossible dreams. This little Aboriginal girl who grew up and lived most of her life in Redcliffe, Queensland, on Gubbi Gubbi country, and the neighbouring nation to my country, Waka Waka Nation. And I never dreamed that I'd be able to achieve the things that I have. And I pinched myself that I'm even here with each of you today to share these things with all of you. And you see, back in 1997, this photo of me at my Year 12 awards night in 1997, when this photo was taken, I was already actively working for reconciliation. Capital R reconciliation between Aboriginal peoples, Torres Strait Islander peoples and non-Indigenous peoples of all cultures in these lands now called Australia. I actually thought we, Australia, would achieve reconciliation by the year 2000. And the 17-year-old Brooke Prentice thought reconciliation by the year 2000 meant that we would have a treaty. We were on track for a treaty. I've got all of the posters and stuff that say, treaty, let's get it right. It meant that Aboriginal peoples would have equality. As a 17-year-old girl in this country, as an Aboriginal girl, I knew I was not equal. And that there would be an end to racism. Perhaps the naivety of a 17-year-old. But I do believe as a Christian, if we embrace those values to love all, the non-discriminating love of Jesus, that there should be an end to racism in this country and in the world. Sadly, 25 years later, we have still not to see all of those things. But I still believe and actively work towards that impossible dream of reconciliation. And so looking back, I realise I dedicated my life not just to the pursuit, but to the achievement of reconciliation as a 17-year-old 25 years ago. At the age of 21 in 2001, I became a Christian, and that pursuit then involved walking hand in hand with Jesus. Jesus, who in life, death, and resurrection was and is passionate about justice. Jesus, who teaches me that through the love of God and Jesus, that Jesus' love is transforming, intriguing and relentless, and is able to change hearts, peoples and nations. And reconciliation might seem like an impossible dream, but my mum taught me to dream those impossible dreams. God had then taught me that with God all things are possible. There can be no reconciliation without you. There can be no reconciliation without truth and justice and action. There can be no reconciliation without all of us. And you see, each one of you are part of my hope for our nation. I look into your eyes and I see Jesus. And sadly, when some, and often it feels like many, look into our non-Aboriginal people look into our eyes, the eyes of their Aboriginal brothers and sisters, they see us as some of your ancestors might have, as flora and fauna, as a problem to be fixed, or even worse, as I said before, somehow we become invisible. So today, my Aboriginal hand of friendship is extended to you. Will you be brave and extend yours back? Will you make change by listening, learning, and loving and taking action? And through that reconciliation as friendship. And so as the story that goes with this painting by my sister Jasmine Roberts, Waka Waka artist, from At My Time for Dreaming. She painted this for me. It came to her in a dream. She'd never heard me speak like I'm speaking to each of you today. And she said, "This is for you. You are in this painting if you can listen deeply enough." And so as the story that goes with this painting, will you take my hand? Will you listen to my songs? Will you walk with me? Will you help me find truth? Will you help me seek justice? Will you please, please, please take my hand? And will you take the hand of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples doing incredible ministry all across these lands now called Australia, as we look at the grass tree gathering?